This is a wonderful time of year, isn't it? This week, many of us will gather with our families and loved ones. Some of us will be traveling, while others will be hosting. And we'll have the opportunity, most of us, to share in fellowship and a wonderful Thanksgiving meal. That traditional feast is a nod to our nation's heritage, but the thankfulness that marks that day is a tribute to the Lord who has blessed us so. It's a wonderful time of year, but not for everyone. For many, this is a difficult time. Many don't have families, or they've lost loved ones that made this time of year special. Many may be at odds with loved ones, so the holidays bring tension or financial stresses and the societal pressure to do or have certain things can be too much for some to handle. And the cultural climate in our day that we're in, it doesn't help either. Rising prices, societal division and tension, and more. All of these things have nearly everyone feeling somewhat on edge. And again, since there's this societal expectation to have or do certain things, even at Thanksgiving, the disruptions in the supply chain have many concerned that they will be unable to have the traditional Thanksgiving they desire. See, unfortunately, much of our country has gotten so wrapped up in the celebration of the feast that we've lost sight of the reason for the feast. We've lost sight of what it means to be thankful. You see, thankfulness is not simply a response to blessings that we've received. Rather, it's a state of mind that results from knowing that we are blessed. Thankfulness comes naturally when we have a proper understanding of who we are and a proper understanding of who God is. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves." See, this is key for us today. Much of our culture has lost sight of what it means to be thankful because we've lost sight of who God is as our Creator. He has made us. He owes us nothing. As our Creator, He has already given us everything, and we owe everything to Him. We need not wait for blessings to fall in order to respond. See, He's given us life and breath just by virtue of the fact that we exist. We are already blessed. Pastor Brian Gass writes, "If we fail to acknowledge God as our Creator, we get in all kinds of trouble. Various theories seek to explain away the need for God. In doing so, though, everything becomes cold and mechanical. Any notion of purpose in life is lost. We lose our sense of beauty, majesty, and wonder. And with that, we lose our propensity to be thankful. If we got where we are by ourselves, we have no one but ourselves to thank for anything." As the people of God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus and made spiritually alive by the Holy Spirit of God, we know who God is. Amen? We know He is the Almighty Creator of all that is. We know that we are His sheep and are guided and fed by His hand. So in an unthankful culture, even in trying days and times, we need to be leading by example, not only by expressing thanks, but by actually being thankful. It's a state of mind and being which we should seek to possess at all times. In a difficult season such as this, there's an old hymn that speaks to where we are and how we should think. it was fitting that we sang it this morning. See, the Lord knows what we need. Brother Poncho didn't know that I would be quoting this song when he chose it for us to sing this morning. The Lord worked that out. But did you notice the words? When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed. Anyone feel that way? When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Anyone in that boat? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God hath done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done. Have you counted your blessings lately? And if so, have you been amazed? As we go forward into this week, many of us will take time to count some of our blessings as we recount God's faithfulness to us. And today, as we continue to look at the book of Acts, I want to help us get a head start on that task. See, as we enter the 10th chapter, the Scriptures remind us of a few things we have to be thankful for. Now, these are universal blessings that God has bestowed upon all of mankind. See, God owes us nothing, and yet He provides these and more. Folks, we are blessed. So let's begin counting our blessings. If you want to turn with me, we'll be reading Acts chapter 10, the first 23 verses of that chapter. And while you're turning, I would ask that you stand as you're able, out of reverence for the reading of the Word of God. And as we read, also begin lifting up your hearts in thankfulness. Be amazed by what God has done. This is Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 23. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa, and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray, about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Father God Almighty, we thank you for your word that we know is inerrant and infallible and is profitable for us for instruction and teaching. But Lord, none of that comes to pass without the help of your Spirit. So Lord, send your Spirit among us to open our eyes and to lead us into all truth, that by your word, Lord, we may have our minds renewed, that we may be conformed into the image of Christ, that we may glorify him in the earth. Help us to exalt Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So as I said before, we find in this passage a number of things for which we can all be thankful today. My guess is that you've probably never heard this passage preached this way. Neither have I. But it's what the Lord showed me as I was preparing. We actually find five that we'll look at today. So as you're counting your blessings, you can get up to five and then keep going from there. This list is not exhaustive, but maybe it can help us get started as we try this week to recount the innumerable ways in which we are blessed by God. So the first thing that we see, the first thing I have to be thankful for, and you too, I am thankful that the Lord God knows my name. We see that in verse 3. See, there's something intimate about knowing someone's name. It's a familiarity that goes beyond just casual acquaintance. When we meet someone, generally one of the first things we ask is, "What's your name?" One of the ways that I know God put Jessica and myself together is that she put up with the fact that for the first good while that I knew her, I could not remember her name to save my life. I called her Jennifer for a long time, and yet she loves me anyway. Tell me that's not God. And I don't know about you, but little embarrasses me more than when I forget someone's name. It's not intentional on my part, but it makes me fear that another person will be offended, as though I didn't care enough to remember their name. But I'm thankful today that God, the Almighty God we serve, knows my name. And he knows your name. There are no introductions needed. No reminders are necessary. Though our God in heaven is almighty and is responsible for the oversight of the entire cosmos, he is neither too busy nor too disinterested to know our names. In verse 3, he calls out to Cornelius by name. Cornelius, we see, is a Roman soldier. He's not even one of God's covenant people. He's a Gentile, what the Jews considered less than human. And besides that, he's a Roman soldier. He's one of the evil occupiers. See, Cornelius was nobody worth knowing as far as the Jews were concerned. Yet Cornelius respected the people of Israel and their God. He prayed to a God he didn't know. Little did he know that this God did know him. He called him by name and said, "Cornelius." But this isn't the first time we see this. God knows all of us by name. He called Abram by name when he was in Haran. He called Jacob by name while he was on the run from Laban. He called Moses by name from the burning bush. And Jesus called Saul by name on the road to Damascus. None of these were seeking God or desiring to serve him when he called out to them. And yet God knew their names anyway. How much more then would God know the name of one who fears him, calls to him, and tries to honor him even before meeting him? And that's what happens with Cornelius. And friends, the same happens for us. Some of us were saved after a lifetime of attending worship, doing good things, and trying to please God. And yet when God was ready to save us, he called us by name. Some others among us may have had no desire to follow God, And yet he called us by name, calling to us even in the midst of our darkness, because he knows our names. Are you thankful that God knows your name today? You should be, because what a blessing. What grace. David says in Psalm 8, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained." He says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" What are we? We are dust in his sight, and yet he knows our name. We're not worthy of God's attention, and yet he knows each and every one of his own by name. And friend, if you're not yet saved, I want you to know that God knows your name too. The prophet Jeremiah teaches us that God knows us even while we are yet in our mother's wombs. Before our mother even names us, God knows our name. He knows your name today, and one day he'll call you by name, if he hasn't already. Are you ready to respond? Are you ready to come and know the Lord who already knows your name? The Lord knows our name. The second thing I see is I'm thankful that God hears when I pray. I'm thankful that God hears when we pray. Look at verse 4. God's messenger tells Cornelius, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God." In other words, he tells Cornelius, God has heard your prayers. Amen. Can there be a greater blessing than that, folks? That the Almighty Creator God, who knows our frame and knows that we are no more than dust before him, he loves and cares enough for us that he hears our prayers. On Sunday evenings, we've begun working through the Psalms here, and already we've seen this truth played out over and over. In Psalm 3, David says, "I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill." In Psalm 4, he says, "The Lord will hear when I call to him." In Psalm 5, he says, "My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord." And in Psalm 6, he says, "The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayers." Over and over and over again, the psalmist knows that God hears him when he prays. I could go on and on, but let's be thankful today that the Lord hears our prayers. John tells us in 1 John 5, verse 14, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Are you thankful that we can have this confidence? But notice this. David was a man of God writing the Psalms. John was an apostle of the Lord writing to Christians. But Cornelius wasn't saved. He was not one of God's covenant people, and yet God heard his prayer anyway. See, the Lord God does not only hear the prayers of his own, he also hears the earnest prayers of sinners seeking to know him. Our Lord welcomes all who will come to him in faith. The Lord hears our prayers. Unworthy as we are to approach him, we can pray and he hears us. Because of Jesus, the invitation is open for us to enter the heavenly throne room. And we can, as the author of Hebrews writes, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And for that privilege, I am thankful. The third thing I see is that I'm thankful that God gives us a way. I'm thankful that God gives us a way. In verse 5, we see that the messenger from God gives Cornelius instructions. Evidently, Cornelius' prayers and acts highlighted the desire of his heart, which was to know the God of Israel. So the messenger sends directions. He says, "Go to Joppa, look for Peter, who is staying with Simon the tanner, and he will tell you what you need to do." See, the Lord answered Cornelius' request. Cornelius wanted to know God, and God told him what he needed to do in order to know him. Now, he didn't tell him directly for reasons that are God's own. But I imagine it was probably twofold. Number one, to exercise Cornelius' faith to see if he would obey. And number two, to allow Peter to witness the salvation of a Gentile, something that we'll see in another passage as we go along. But the bottom line is that God's ways are often beyond what we can see or understand, but God still provides a way. Amen. Ultimately, God has provided a way for all of us. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is the way to the Father. God's love for the world is so great that He sent His Son Jesus to be the way for sinners to be reconciled to God and to know Him. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus made the way and then said, "Follow Me." God gives us a way. That way is Jesus. Through repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ as the only way to the Father, we can know Him if, like Cornelius, that is our heart's desire. But God also gives us guidance and a way to go even as we follow. Even after we're saved, God still gives us a way. For those of us who belong to Christ, God has given us Jesus as our shepherd, and He leads us. In John 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." I'm thankful today for a shepherd who leads me and gives me a way to go when I'm uncertain of the next step. Or even when I feel certain, He guides me away from potential missteps. My God gives me a way. But I'm more thankful that God gave us the way, Jesus. I'm thankful for the gospel and that God provides guidance as we seek to know Him. The fourth thing I see here is I'm thankful that God speaks. Are you thankful that God speaks? Switching gears in our narrative, our attention kind of turns to Peter. Peter's staying with Simon the tanner in Joppa, and around lunchtime, that's about the sixth hour, he goes up on the rooftop to find a private place to pray. And he continues to pray as the household is preparing a meal, and he falls into a trance, and God gives him a vision. But in the midst of that vision, a voice comes to Peter and speaks. Folks, I'm thankful that the voice of God still speaks today. The voice that spoke a universe into existence. The voice that formed the earth, the mountains and the valleys, the rivers and the streams. The voice that brought life into existence in our universe. This voice that thunders with power and majesty still speaks to us today. Now that voice comes in various forms. Sometimes the voice still thunders, as on the Mount of Transfiguration. But sometimes, as Elijah learned, the voice is not in the whirlwind, or in the fire, or in the earthquake, but rather it's in the stillness that abides through all of the noise of life. But His voice still speaks if we listen. God's voice speaks to us through the pages of Scripture if we'll simply read and listen. The Word of God, Hebrews tells us, is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit comes to guide us into all truth. As we look to God's Word in Scripture, the Spirit opens our eyes and speaks to us, allowing us to understand the mysteries of God. See, we don't have a God who is passive or silent. He speaks, and we can hear Him. We quoted before John 10, "My sheep hear My voice." But again, this is not a blessing reserved only for those who are saved. Those who seek God hear His voice too, and also those who are not even looking for God. Cornelius was seeking God when the Lord called him by name. But Saul was out to destroy the legacy of Jesus and his church, yet the Lord still spoke to him and called him by name. These and others all heard the voice of God. I'm thankful that the voice of God has spoken to me. The voice of God called me to repentance and faith. The voice of God spoke peace to my heart when he saved me. The voice of God called me to preach the gospel. And the voice of God continues to lead, guide, and direct me so long as I will listen. And I'm thankful. Are you thankful today that God still speaks to you? The fifth thing I find today is that I'm thankful for God's judgment. I'm thankful for God's judgment. Now, I recognize that probably sounds a little strange. But look at the context. In verse 15, God tells Peter, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." We live in a culture that is dominated by judgment today. We're divided by opinions, by stances, and by status. Men cast judgment, and far be it from any of us to oppose the judgment of those in power or those with influence. I look at what just happened in a Kenosha courtroom this week. A young man was proven innocent by the evidence. Yet the media and sports figures, they have spoken. They have cast judgment. But friends, the opinions of men are not grounded in truth. Only God's judgment is sure. And too often, we're guilty of allowing the thoughts and deliberations of others to cause us to doubt whether or not we are worthy, whether or not we belong. We even allow our own feelings of unworthiness to fill us with self-doubt. But God has spoken, and His judgment is true. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. You must not consider unworthy that which God has chosen and deemed worthy. I'm thankful for the judgment of God in declaring the faithful righteous. Not because of anything I've done, but because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, Almighty God in heaven has cleansed me by the blood of Jesus. I am cleansed. Are you cleansed today? See, I'm cleansed, and nothing and no one, including myself, has the right to challenge that or to diminish my worth before God. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he," that is God, "made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." We are all filthy sinners before God. Isaiah tells us that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, but God has made Jesus to be sin for us so that we could, through Jesus, obtain the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus, we are declared clean. Psalm 32 opens saying, "Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity." Brothers and sisters, we whose sins are covered by the blood of Jesus are blessed indeed. Our sins are covered. They're atoned by the blood of Christ. Our iniquity is not imputed to us. Rather, the righteousness of the sinless Son of God is given to us that we may know the blessing of a reconciled and restored relationship with the one who created us. We are clean. Don't call yourself common. What the Lord has cleansed, you must not consider unworthy, because through the Holy Spirit, we've been led to the truth, and the truth has set us free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. See, this is the judgment of God, that whoever is found in Christ is the righteousness of Christ. He's cleansed. And that's available for everyone. Cornelius was a Gentile. He wasn't one of God's covenant people. He was a stranger to the promise, as Paul said in Ephesians. But God prepares Peter to understand that through faith in Christ, all can come into the new covenant in Jesus' blood. Any who will come can be declared cleansed. See, God has decreed in His judgment that those who trust in Christ shall be justified by grace through their faith. It is God's judgment, God's decree, and it shall stand forever and ever. I'm thankful for God's judgment, which has declared me cleansed. Are you? Have you been cleansed today? If so, be thankful, because no one and nothing on earth can take that away. No one, nothing on earth can change God's righteous judgment. But if not, if you haven't been cleansed, you can be today. Jesus is the way. Come to Him and surrender to the truth. The truth can set you free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Friends, we're blessed. Almighty God is the Creator. It's He who made us, not we ourselves. And yet our Creator has not left us on our own. He knows our names. He hears our prayers. He directs us and gives us a way to go. He speaks to us. And in His judgment, through Jesus Christ, He cleanses us and declares us clean. We are blessed. If there were never another turkey dinner, never another family gathering, never another feast, we would still be blessed. Are you thankful today? Count your blessings. Start with these. Though these five are reason enough to rejoice, this is just a few of the things we have to be thankful for. Count your blessings. Count them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Now I want to end today a little differently. We're not going to do a traditional invitation, though I want you to understand that this is the Lord's house. And this is His altar. If you need to come to the Lord or bring anything to Him, you don't need my invitation. You just come. You just follow the Lord. The altar's open. But I want to end today by once again declaring our thanks. I want to end with worship. So we sang a song earlier, and it was a new song. But now you've heard it, so now you know it, right? We're going to pretend that's the case. Y'all just pretend right along with me and sing along. If they would, I'd like to invite our praise team to come back and lead us, because I want to sing it again. In light of what we have just seen from the Word of God. But I want to invite everyone, even though it's a newer song for most of us, to at least latch on to that chorus. Let's declare it. The Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Let's let all of Hatfield hear us singing. Let's lift our hands, our hearts, and our voices in thanksgiving to God. Let's declare to our community and our world our thankfulness for all God has done and is doing as we sing with a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, "I will bless your name. Thank you, Lord." Can we do that today? Would you stand together for a word of prayer, and then I'll move to the piano as we prepare to sing. Oh, our loving Father, Creator God, how we thank You today for how You have moved and are moving in our lives. Lord, the blessings that You bestow upon us are too numerous to count. But Lord, we've looked at just a few today that are just mind-blowingly awesome. We are so unworthy of Your goodness to us. Oh, Father, move our hearts to be filled with gratitude, that we may testify to the world of Your goodness. Not just testify to the world, Lord, may we know it in our hearts. And may we be truly thankful for all you have done. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you. Amen.